This Do Lectures episode features founder of Adventure Playground Zipworld, Sean Taylor, recorded live at the global event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2019.
Plounder? That's good afternoon in Welsh. So I'm Sean Taylor, I'm Basil's dad. I know what they say, children and animals, so anyway, here goes. So Zipworld, the company going downhill fast, I stole that from David Hyatt about 3 years ago. We've probably all had one of these days where I'm having a real shit day. And the day before, one of the members of staff had been taking the piss about my jeans. And I got this package through Thursday afternoon, and basically on the cover it was jeans, and I thought someone sent me a catalogue to buy jeans, and it was one of David's inspirational books, and it was the company going downhill fast, Zipworld. And at that time I had an American lady called Carly who did our PR, and I said, I'm going to use that as a strap line, and she says, no, you can't do that, people will think you're going out of business. And it just shows that irony and Americans do not go together, you know. So Sean Taylor, founder and president of Zipworld. I'm actually the president of my rugby club as well, which taught me never to miss an AGM. So I missed the AGM and they sprung this on me. But 2 weeks ago, I went for a few beers with the lads. It was about 120 of the lads. And they announced this is a new president. They proceeded then to put a blonde wig on me, play the American national anthem, and they all saluted me. And I hope that's the fucking nearest I'll ever get to seeing Mr. Trump. So this is about my journey. I'm a privileged man, I'm a lucky man, and hopefully in the next 16 minutes and 57 seconds, I'm going to tell you why. So I was born in North Wales. This is a mountain called Tryfan. My mother was Welsh, and she's a farmer's daughter underneath this mountain, very famous mountain with Adam and Eve. If you're ever up in North Wales, forget about Snowdon. Go up on this mountain, it's absolutely glorious. My dad is a Gwyfal, that's Welsh for Irish, and they met in Capel Cerrig, which is a mountain town, and my dad was a big guy, and he basically beat up all the farmers to get my mother's wedding ring, and they got married, and the result was myself, my brother, and my sister. So I had a privileged background, living in the mountains, I was gathering sheep at 3,000 feet at the age of 12 or 13. Sounds great. It was fucking awful. Yeah, all I wanted to do was be in Trevue, where I were, my little village, looking up in the public toilets, looking at girls, and basically going down to Mr. Hughes' shop and nicking sweets. That's what I wanted to do, but instead I was having to go up these bloody mountains. But that forged my love of the outdoors. It grew, and I was a big fell runner into my rugby, quite inactive, and also my dad was a lumberjack, and I used to help him in his business. I went all the way up through school in Llanrwst in the lovely Conwy Valley. I think it's quite fair to say I was an academic, and there was about five or six of us at the end of our sixth form, first year in the sixth form, we got pulled into headmaster's room, and he said, I'm not expelling you lads, but you're not coming back next year. So I thought, okay, fair enough, that's nice of you for that. And we all disappeared. I stayed for 1.5 years working in my father's lumberjack business, and it was a fantastic time, but brutally hard work before the advent of all the machinery now. So I actually escaped, and I joined these guys here, the Royal Marine Commandos, for an easier life. I haven't got much time, but I was privileged. I'm still mates now with some of the most awesome guys I've ever met in my life. I'm still very friendly with them. I went around the world, had an amazing time, until two guys got together, a guy called George Bush and Tony Blair, and decided to start taking the Royal Marines and all the other armed forces to every war he could find. Anyway, I did 20 years in the Marines, from a parachute instructor to ski instructor in Norway. I lived in Hong Kong as a parachute instructor, spent a lot of time in America, all around Europe, and had an amazing time. Did 20 years in the Marines, and that time actually forged me in what the person I am now. A lot of people say to me, don't you wish you'd gone into business a little bit earlier, Sean? I says, no, because I wouldn't have been the same person. That's And as we mentioned earlier on, these are the traits I think I've got from the Marines. Courage, determination, unselfishness, cheerfulness. You definitely need to be cheerful working with Gwynedd County Council and our National Park and people like that. You need real determination to grind through. In fact, one of my favourite little things I always remember, when I'm in a bad time, does anyone remember porridge? Yeah. Ronnie Barker, don't let the bastards grind you down. And that's my kind of motto in life. Keep on going, keep fighting through, because there's an amazing amount of red tape when you first start. So 20 years in the Marines, I left, and I left on a Thursday, found myself in Kabul as a bodyguard on a Sunday. Spent 3 years and had an amazing time there. And then my first forage into business was in 2007, is what we call now, which was then Treetop Adventure, on the upper slopes of the Conwy Valley, beautiful area near Bettws-y-Coed, and started off with my business partners, but I ran it all, and it was a learning curve like that, where you had to get to know very, very quickly VAT, employment law, planning law, highways, legislation, all these things. So there was a learning curve like that. But I really, really enjoyed myself. We started with a temporary planning, and all I had in the beginning was a shipping container, a mobile office, and a chemical toilet. And we started in May, and by the time August came, that chemical toilet was stinking. But that was a smell of success for me, because a lot of people were coming. Yeah, so that was in 2007. 2009, we moved on, we got full planning, and we came, as I said earlier, one of the premier high ropes courses in the UK in a very, very short time, employing local people, putting money back into the community, which we still do now. So that was 2007. 2013, I'm sorry, I'm rushing through this. This is generally about a 2-hour presentation, but I've got 20 minutes. This is Penryn Quarry, which up until 1952 was the largest man-made hole in the world. Yeah, it got overtaken then by someone in Australia, but it's still an absolutely awesome place if you ever go there. It's biblical. I call it biblical. You know, it's absolutely huge. This is the video I'm going to show you.
Amazing, isn't it? You know, to start with, I was a bit worried, but then went off, and then you got faster and faster. And then they said, look out for the instructor to put his arms out. I couldn't see him, so I was panicking then. I thought we could keep going, but no, it was amazing.
You're obviously coming down from high and dropping over a lake, but no, it was class. Good speed and everything, and really enjoyed it.
Quite nerve-wracking, actually. As you come over the edge before the lake's quite spoiled.
I couldn't believe it. I was sort of, it was almost over the point of being scared. I actually quite enjoyed it.
There's a couple of sketchy boys at the top, but I think everyone managed to calm down. There's no one dropping out, so no, it was brilliant.
It was over quicker than I thought, naively, I suppose, but no, it was good. We made the most of it, and it's a great experience to have.
The views are unreal, and to have one of those come down like that is crazy.
This is just the jewel in the crown, really. It's amazing. You know, I've heard about it, I've read about it. I saw a few of the rugby guys helped open it when they first came here. I suppose Scott Connell's got the speed record. He's a pretty big bloke, but no, I really enjoyed it. Awesome.
Anyone who's come up at this neck of the woods, I'd 100% recommend to come up here. You know, if I'm up here again in North Wales, I'd definitely have to give another go and jump on again. So highly recommend it.
The Welsh countryside is pretty special itself, irrelevant where you are, but particularly here, setting the quarry, coming over the lake at the bottom there, it's spectacular.
Wales is a beautiful country for adventure.
Okay, you notice there was two wires there. We increased it to four wires 2 years ago because we were having to put people on 20 past six in the morning, and that's what the PR we've had. Apologise to my American and European friends, but you probably don't know these guys. We've had Anton Deck, we've had Griffiths Jones, and all these guys. That's PR we could never have afforded. So it became ridiculous that we were starting at 20 past 6 in the morning, finishing at 10 o'clock at night, so we doubled the wires. And have a guess what, we still start at 7 in the morning and we finish, so, which is great news. So that was 2013. 2014, we opened Zipworld Titan, which is the largest zip zone of its type in the world, in the beautiful Blind of Ystiniog. People asked us, was it a bit risky? Were you going to cannibalise the other zip line? And it's worked really, really well. This is more of a family activity, whereas Velocity is more all about speed and adrenaline. That was 2014. 2015. We're going to miss that because I haven't got the time. So 2015, we opened Bounce Below, the first subterranean playground of its type, all done by hand. Massively proud of my construction team. The beauty of Zipworld is we do everything under one umbrella. So we've got our own PR marketing team, IT team, construction team, finance. Then we've got our general managers, truck drivers, the whole thing. So the beauty of it is it's easily transferable. So this is Bounce Below, which opened, and we can put up to 1,500 people a day on this underground. It's really nice to have it in Blind of Ystiniog. Anyone who's been to Blind of Ystiniog will know it rains every now and again. It's one of the wettest places in the UK. So when it rains, we can put people underground. 2015 and 16. This was the old Treetop Adventure, which we rebranded into Zipworld Forest. Now this is our busiest site. We can get up to 220,000 people onto Zipworld Forest. So much so, the problems are now we have to keep on building car parks, which isn't great when you're in the national park. But we've tried park and ride and all that, and it's hard and it doesn't work. So we've got 6 or 7 products on this site. And what we've done there is we've created the destination and we've created an experience. So one of the things I've driven our culture is about wow. It's wow, and you come in, and it's not just about the activity. Wow, those toilets are immaculate. The food is locally sourced, it's amazing. The car park attendant, what a guy, what an ambassador to Zipworld and the local area. So it's all built on this excellence. We're trying to be the virgin of adventure tourism. So we're very good at what we do. Some of our ideas and some other ideas we enhance. So this is one of the really successful products. It's a German product that we built. And this is an amazing experience. We have rally drivers on this and we have grandmothers on this. So one of our successes, we are mass market. We can appeal from 3-year-olds to 99-year-olds. The old zip line, it used to be quite noisy. And remember, there was a 98-year-old guy who'd come up to do a bit of a recce who was a Dunkirk vet. And our old trolleys were quite noisy. And it went past and he ducked and he went, fuck me, I thought it was a Stuka. Yeah, and my language, by the way. It's these products. It's the products and the people that make it. It's one of the proudest thing I've achieved, I think, with Zipworld. It's not the money we make. It's how I've developed my staff. The staff are not only ambassadors for Zipworld. They're ambassadors for my community. We're embedded in my community. In fact, our headquarters is 200 metres from where I went to school. So it makes me incredibly proud. So our newest addition you saw on the video, this is a twin parachute simulator where you plunge through a trapdoor, which is hilarious, but people don't know what to expect. They stand on there and next thing, whack, and you hear these screams. And you actually get a lot of locals coming in just to listen to the screams. So the newest thing, in a week's time, this is a thing called Quarry Carts. I think I've got a video of this. It's a bit of a departure. It's a 3-kilometre ride down a mountain using the state-of-the-art carts from Germany. But this time you're actually in complete control. You're in control of your own destiny, basically. So we're a little bit worried about it. Not worried, wrong word. Rewind. I'm not selling this well. We're going to have to do very good briefings. You're going to have a helmet on, all the rest of it. So I'm just going to show you a... Get the idea. We've got long left. Back in 2013, I had this amount, probably 6 members of staff. I've got now 450 members of staff. I've got more managers than I had staff there, and it makes me very proud. What I'm after is developing my friends and give them the headroom to grow. We spend a lot of time and effort developing our staff because our business is our staff. We look after them financially. They all have to take strain off of National Health. Everyone's got medical care. They've got free swimming, free gymnasiums in the county of Conway. So that's that's even changed now. So it changes every week. So built on PR. One of the last one, we brought £252 million into our local economy. It's not the most affluent areas of the UK. In fact, Bethesda and Blaenau Ffestiniog are pretty poor areas. So we brought the average distance time is 176 miles to come and visit. So it's a bucket list sort of activity. So 75% of Welsh speakers, especially in Blaenau Ffestiniog. Most people live within 5 to 6 miles of where they work. So reducing the carbon footprint of people having to travel. We do lots of events for charity. This is one we did 2 weeks ago, and this is more of a legacy now we do for the local community, and it goes to Love, Hope, Strength, which is a cancer charity for local hospitals. I'm running out of time. Some of the other things we're doing is we've now got intellectual property now in media. We have our own game show, which hopefully is going to go over to the States. And then 2 days ago, we signed up with Revel. Revel, a company from Silicon Valley. We now got stock, it's shares in the UK, it's stock over there, in this company. They're from Silicon Valley. I'm in the Conway Valley. It's a natural fit, I think. We've got our old little bridge, and they've got another bridge, which is a little bit bigger than ours. So this is using artificial intelligence. These guys are clever, and it basically puts us ahead of everyone else, we think, in the UK and in Europe. And that sort of thing is innovation. It's our DNA. We innovate and we look and it's forever. We're always on that learning curve. You know, we're humble enough to know we don't know everything and we just want to go out and learn. I mentioned my rugby club earlier on. So last year, I've got 30 seconds left. I bought my partners out last year. So now I went from being a fairly wealthy guy to I've got the biggest debt in the valley now. So that's changed how we behave. We have to behave in a different way. We've got to do a lot more due diligence, but it's we're on this curve. We're looking at a big acquisition coming in the next couple of weeks as well, which will take us to the UK and into Europe. So plenty of ambition. And we are coming down to South Wales. There you are. The North is coming, and we're coming down to the Brecon Beacons, which I'm really looking forward to. Got 9 seconds left. What we've done for North Wales with Slate, we're going to do in South Wales, in the communities in South Wales with coal. We're landing on Tower Colliery, which is an amazing story of, if you are from South Wales, you'll know the story of Tower Colliery. And I'm incredibly excited about coming down there and spreading the gospel and the missionary work from North Wales down to South Wales. And the last picture I've got is, lads, if you want to talk about my past life, of I used to look after Pamela, so I've got some good stories if you buy me a few beers tonight. Sorry, God's off. Okay, thank you very much.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.